Welcome to Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, where we worship God, make disciples of Jesus Christ, and serve our community and world. The following is a recorded message based on God's holy word. We would love to see you for our worship services on Sunday mornings. For more information, visit www.mattisav.org or call 217-355-5947. And may God bless you.
Thank you, Caitlin. Well, today we continue our series through the book of 1 John. It's been fun to join in together and learn more about this each of these books, but especially as we begin 1 John. It's been fun, and it was really exciting this past week to hear from our speaker, Jerry Coleman, really good speaker, and a reminder, there were several times where I was jealous of him because he came down off of the platform several times and went into the congregation and just like sat in the midst of their seat. And yeah, I'm not just going to sit on your stuff. As a reminder, remember that, because people were starting to say, well, it was what Jesus said that was really important. It was the heart of God that was revealed through Jesus, and that's what's really important. And John continues to remind them, yeah, that stuff is important, but it's actually important that God became man and lived among us and was resurrected as a physical being, right? This resurrected Jesus with his scars in his hands, and it's a mystery, but it's not a mystery we can get past. It's one that we're meant to continue wrestling with and understanding and receiving the love that's communicated there. And he said that there's all kinds of ways that we can begin to lose sight of the important things about Jesus if all we're doing is focusing on the good stuff Jesus said. John said, don't miss who Jesus is in the midst of all the good things that he said. And he reminded us at the end of the last chapter, chapter 1 of 1 John, that if we say that we have no sin, we do what to ourselves? We deceive ourselves. We can deceive ourselves. We know this. That's why we love virtual reality games so much, right? Because we can get into the mode of being in. Anyways, that's a whole nother. I didn't intend to talk about that. But we know that we can deceive ourselves. That's why imagining things is so fun. It's so fun to get lost in a good story, a good narrative, because we begin to actually imagine ourselves in those things that are happening. And they impact us as if we're going through those things, which can be difficult too. So careful what you read. But John is saying, pay attention to who Jesus was, because we can deceive ourselves if we don't. Sorry, that was in your Mad Libs. You should write that one down if you haven't yet. And if we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. Truth, just to give you a quick vocabulary lesson, the word, the Greek word for truth is aletheia, right? Which is the not covered, basically. Something that's not covered, something that's not being hidden is truth, right? So the truth is not in us if we're deceiving ourselves about our sinful condition. It's not just about what we proclaim or what we practice. It's about both of these things together. The truth that abides within us by the Holy Spirit that's been given. And so he talked about confessing to one another because accountability protects and nurtures truth. And last week, we invited 6 new people to step forward as members of Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church. It's a beautiful thing. It encourages accountability. And what's neat is that because we have the ability to deceive ourselves, God invites us to not do faith alone, Right? Don't try to follow Jesus on your own. Don't try to discover Jesus on your own, because you may find that the person you're following or the person that you're discovering is not actually Jesus. So it's so helpful for us to be part of a local congregation that comes around one another and says, let's do this together. Let's open the Word of God and receive from God together. And not just locally, but we are part of a conference, right? We went to camp this past week. Many of us went to the Crossroads Conference family camp at Wabash Park. And it was beautiful for us to spend unscripted time together, just talking about life and creation and the goodness of God and the mystery of God. So we have a conference that keeps us accountable also. There are churches in our conference that are different from the church here at Mattis Avenue in Champaign, Illinois. There are churches from really small farming communities that are struggling in different ways than we struggle. All churches are struggling, let me tell you that, because we have humans in them. But we all have different struggles. So for us to come together at camp and talk about what God's doing across the conference. And that, not just that, we have a global denomination that we're part of. We have ways that we struggle here in the United States of America that they are not struggling in the middle of Africa. And they have ways that they are struggling in the middle of Africa that we are not struggling. And so it's good for us to share our experiences of what God is doing and how we're receiving Him in His Word and by His Spirit. Because it keeps us accountable to make sure we're not just following our understanding of God or our understanding of Jesus, but actually following Jesus, who has shined His light, shown His... I'm not good with vocabulary because I'm a poet, but I use all the words to make things happen. The way that God has shone on all of the world. And we work together to follow that Jesus, to respond and to join Jesus in all the ways He invites us. And before I get too far, it's probably good for us to actually read today's passage. So let's do that. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Listen, this is Grandpa John, right? Towards the end of his life, reaching out to the churches nearby from Ephesus. And he writes these words, "My little children..." Yeah, they're hearing. "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we obey His commandments. Whoever says, 'I have come to know Him,' but does not obey His commandments is a liar. And in such a person, the truth does not exist. But whoever obeys His word, truly, in this person, the love of God has reached perfection. By this we know that we are in Him. Whoever says, 'I abide in Him,' ought to walk in the same way as He walked. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new commandment that is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says, 'I am in the light,' while hating a brother or sister, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves a brother or sister abides in the light, and in such a person there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates a brother or sister is in darkness, walks in the darkness, and does not know the way to go, because the darkness has brought on blindness." Lord Jesus, we are thankful for your word, even as we are challenged by your word. Would you speak to our hearts? Would you minister to our hearts, Holy Spirit, while we are here together in your presence? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to remind you this morning, as much as we have like the sermon Mad Libs for you to fill out, it's not as important for you to hear what to fill out as it is for you to hear from what the Spirit is saying to you this morning. It may be something that's on that sheet, and that's wonderful. I hope it can be. But it may be something completely unrelated or unidentified in the passage. Listen to the Spirit more than you listen to me or the people around you in your pew or seats. So John is taking his foot off the accelerator here for just a second. He had been kind of challenging them and saying like, hey, if you're doing this, that's not actually Jesus. Hey, if you're focusing only on the words and the heart of Jesus, but not on the fact that Jesus came physically, was one of us, you're missing out on some really important things. Right? He had been jumping right into his pastoral concerns. And here at the beginning of our passage, he takes the foot off the accelerator for just a moment and says, hey, dear children, my dear children. He's not writing to bring correction so much. And he's not writing so much to like make them feel like they've gotten things wrong. He's writing to them so that they may not sin. He's writing so that they may not sin. It's a good reminder for us, because a lot of us, we know our hearts. We know what we're capable of. We know how often we fall short. And this is a really good reminder. It's actually possible that we don't continue to live in sin. Now, we were honest last week, right? If we say we don't have sin and we've never sinned, we're lying. We're deceiving ourselves. But John says it's possible that you may not sin going forward. We've talked about this in a previous message, but it's good to highlight this morning that there are types of sin. We get these particular types from John Wesley himself, but these different ways of understanding either past sin, which is our guilt, right, before God, our present sin, which is the ways that we outwardly actually miss the mark or choose something other than God. There's the inward sin. This is the actual corruption of our nature, that we are sinful human beings. There's the sins of surprise, these impulse and reactive knee-jerk sins because of the direction our hearts are formed. And then finally, the sins of infirmity, just involuntary failings because of ignorance, because we're limited beings who don't know everything. It's good for us to be reminded this morning that we actually believe that you can be set free from Numbers 1 through 4. Amen? Amen. We don't have to live under the power of sin, past, present, or future in these regards. That God can bring freedom. God can bring healing. God can break chains and desires to. And if you're here this morning, your chains have been broken in the name of Jesus. Sin has no power over you. Take a deep breath as someone who is set free. Thank you, Jesus. John says, I'm writing this so that you don't sin. But as he says that, he wants to make sure he's not leaving those who have sinned or even do sin in the future without any hope. He says, but if you do sin, we have an advocate. An advocate there, the word parakletos is just to call to one's side. The advocate, the word for advocate means someone who's been called to your side in your defense in a court setting, right? Speaking on your side, speaking in your defense, speaking your case to those who are listening. And it's interesting because John calls Jesus our advocate. But we know if we've read other parts of the Bible, in the book of John, actually, at least four times, it uses this same word, the parakletos, the advocate, to be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our advocate. The Holy Spirit is the one called to our side to advocate for God's truth. So which is it? Is the Holy Spirit our advocate, or is Jesus our advocate? You may already have figured out it can be both. The Holy Spirit advocates to us for the Father, while Jesus advocates to the Father for us. So while we're living this life, while we're going through our day-to-day experiences, the Holy Spirit is with us. And the Holy Spirit is guiding us and helping us understand the new realities that God has inaugurated in Jesus Christ and who we are in that new life. And the Holy Spirit comes alongside us and within us and says, actually, this is who you are now. Actually, this is what creation is capable of now because of what God has done and is doing. And while the Holy Spirit is with us, speaking and proclaiming and advocating on God's behalf, Jesus is with God the Father, advocating our reality, saying, hey, these people have been redeemed. They've been made new. I gave my life because we love them. Isn't that good? And the Father receives that and says, yeah. I mean, it's a mystery. I can't explain to know how it all works, but this is the best we've come up with to say, I think this is what they're saying here. And it sure rings true to me because it sure sounds like a lot of love happening between Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And God is inviting us to be a part of that. And John is saying it's important what we believe here. It's important because it not only matters for our eternity, but it matters right now. What we're capable of and who we are and who we're becoming. It matters that we pay attention to Jesus. Because, why? Because we can deceive ourselves. We can get things wrong if we're not paying attention to who Jesus actually is. And so he continues writing. He's like, but how do we know that we know Jesus? The actual Jesus, not just our vision of who Jesus might be. And John writes, well, we know him if we obey him. Right? It seems so simple. If we say we know Jesus, but we don't live as if we know Jesus, then we may not actually know Jesus. We cannot say we know him while living as if we don't. It doesn't matter how loudly you say it. It doesn't matter how great the words are that you proclaim it in. It doesn't matter how many languages you proclaim it in. It doesn't matter how far across the world you go to proclaim it. If you're not living as if Jesus is known by you to the core of who you are, then you may not actually know Jesus. Truth, right, is not concealment. And he says these words in verse 5, but whoever obeys his word, truly in this person, the love of God has reached perfection. Now, we get kind of messed up because we lose focus on this word perfection. We think of somebody who's like doing everything right, never does anything wrong, is polished, has their shirt tucked in. I don't know why shirt tucked in is a thing for me. I grew up being forced to tuck in my shirt. Anyways, that's a whole other thing. The love of God has reached perfection in someone who is obeying and walking the way of Jesus. Why? Because perfection means completion. Love is made complete when it is lived out. When love is just a word, when love is just something that's talked about, when love is just something that's bragged about, when identity with Jesus is just something that is in our heads or words or documents, it remains incomplete. Love that is lived out. And we know this from experience. We know this because we know what it feels like to be loved by someone in a way that's tangible. When you see the cost someone pays to show you love, you just know there is truth happening in that moment. Love lived out is love made complete. And then John continues to write. He's like, this is not something new that I'm writing to you. This is not a new command. This is an old word that God began talking about even when he made coverings for Adam and Eve, showing them love as they had to leave the garden for their own sake. And it continued to show them that love and continued to be the story of God reaching out to and among his people. And yet it is a new command because it's taken on flesh in Jesus and it's being taken on flesh in you. It's new in that way. And it's so important for us to see these things that John's pointing out because, especially today, most religions agree Jesus is good. name the religion. I mean, you don't have to name the religion, but you can Google it later, right? What does fill in the blank believe about Jesus? Most religions will say Jesus was a really, really good person. He had great things to say. He was a prophet. He was a person of God. He was one of the manifestations of God, whatever they might say about Jesus. We don't believe Jesus was simply good. We believe Jesus is God. That's not on your sermon sheet. Sorry about that. You'll have to write that one in if you like it, right? Jesus is not just good. Jesus is God. And it's important for us to see the truth that John points out to the followers of Jesus here, this progression of light throughout Scripture, that the light has come and has shined for all men and all creation. Back in Isaiah chapter 49, God declares to his servant, I will give you as a light to the nations that my salvation may reach the end of the earth. Salvation, of course, we know means healing. That my healing, my renewal, my bringing all things together may reach all people groups, all parts of the earth. And then John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus literally says, I am the light of the world. Not I'm really inspiring or I'm really good. I have great things to listen to. Jesus says literally, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus knew who he was. Right? There are a lot of religions that wonder, did Jesus actually believe these things about himself? Answer is yes, he did. He not only believed it, he proclaimed it. Jesus said, I am the light. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. Don't miss that. Because he also said something even more incredible, because it invites us to get involved. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus said to his followers, you are the light of the world. Why? Because he's just like telling this group of people, this random group of people, they're the light of the world? No, he's saying, you're following me. As a follower of Jesus, this is what he's already declared in John chapter 8. When we follow Jesus, and as we follow Jesus, and only as we follow Jesus, we have the light of the world. We are carrying the light of the world into the world. And a city built on a hill cannot be hid. And John knows that's going to bring up all kinds of questions. What does that actually look like? To be in the light. And so he gives them examples. He says, if somebody says they're in the light, but they hate their brother or sister, they're lying. Some of us read that and say, well, that's actually really encouraging to know that I only have to love my brothers and sisters in the faith, because these people I have discovered are really easy for me to love. Well, it's good for us to remember our love is not limited to our brothers and sisters, right? Luke chapter 6, verse 27b, Jesus commands, love your enemies. That's a little harder, Jesus. You didn't have to put it quite that specific, did you? Yeah, he did. So why is he saying, if those who are saying they're walking in the light but hate their brother or sister, why is he defining that particular way of living? And I believe it's because here it is practiced and refined and understood and strengthened. Right? The point isn't that we only love our brothers and sisters in the faith. The point is that here, among those who are also following Jesus, should be the place where it's easiest for us to love one another. We know 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12, Paul writes, love, he's just praying that they would grow in love for one another and for all. Right? It was definitely still part of their identity to love those who were outside of the faith. But here John is saying, at bare minimum, we should be those who are loving our brothers and sisters who agree with us as we're following Jesus. And if that's not happening, we're lying. You can't grow to the next level of love without first loving those who are easiest for us to love. You wouldn't hire a caterer who didn't know how to make a peanut butter sandwich, right? You wouldn't hire a chauffeur who you saw play a video game and was really, really bad at Mario Kart. You wouldn't hire a surgeon who couldn't open an envelope without ripping it to shreds. John is saying, if you can't love your brother and sister in the faith, you're building on a lie already. And he's saying, check yourselves. The way that you treat one another as you're following Jesus together matters. Because you can't keep growing until you nail this part and you follow Jesus honestly and humbly in this way. Galatians 3 verse 26 declares, all are children of God through faith. So what do we know? If someone does hate a brother or sister in the faith, what does John say here? Just to wrap these things up, he says, if someone hates a brother or sister in the faith, they're actually still in the dark. No matter how much light they may proclaim, no matter how much they may tell you they're a follower of Jesus and they're living in the light, John is saying, yeah, they're still deceiving themselves. We may still be deceiving ourselves if we're saying we're living in the light and holding on to hate or unforgiveness toward a brother or sister. Not only are they in the dark, they're walking in the dark. They're not just standing still. A whole lot more damage can be caused if we're actually walking forward in the dark than if we just stood still. If someone's out there proclaiming they're walking in the light and hating a brother or sister, they can do a whole lot of damage. We can do a whole lot of damage because we're walking in the dark. Next, he says, they do not know where they are going. Who should you follow? Should you follow someone who doesn't know where they're going? Even if they make the journey really, really fun? No. It's easy for us to say that this morning, but it's good for us to remember that, to write it down, to pray it together, and to be those who know where we are going. I'm not talking in like a cosmic, where will you spend eternity kind of sense, but I'm just saying, where are you going every day? Are you going where Jesus is going? Are you going with the Holy Spirit who's been offered to you and joining the work of kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven? Finally, he says, those who hate a brother or sister are blinded by darkness. Are blinded by darkness. Lord, help us to see. We may look at all these things. We may think of the ways that we love our brothers and sisters and think, wow, I'm actually doing pretty good. You may look around the people in this room and think to yourself, I'm not worried about this because I love everybody here. They're great people. They love Jesus and I love them and I've got no beef with anybody here. Let me remind you, this is not the body of Christ complete. There are people following Jesus who look a lot different than all of us. There are people following Jesus who sit on the other side of the political aisle. How are we doing at loving them? There are people who are following Jesus who come from economic situations that we can't even begin to imagine. How are we doing at loving them? There are people who are following Jesus, our brothers and sisters globally, who speak different languages and perceive things differently than us. How are we doing at loving them? Let God fill in the blank for you here. What challenges you in loving others who love Jesus? If there's somebody in the news or somebody who walked in the doors of our church, who you looked at them or you listened to their words and something rose within you that just said, ah, I cannot easily love them. And then you found out they were trying to follow Jesus with you. What would your response be? Where's the Holy Spirit wanting to work on your heart? Where's the Holy Spirit wanting to work on our heart as a community? How are we doing at loving those who follow Jesus but are a little bit different or even a lot different from us? And if we're honest, we will listen to the Spirit challenge us this morning because we all have work God can do to refine his love so that we are loving our brother and sister in ways that enable us to take that next step. Because we want to be those who love our enemies. We cannot be those who love our enemies if we can't first love our brother and sister who are on the journey with us, seeking Jesus together. So listen to the Spirit this morning. As we're going to turn to our hearts in response to the word this morning, I want our prayer as we sing this song even to just be, Lord Jesus, come and shine your light. This is a song that a lot of us may know because we've sung it a ton. It may be new to you. They will know we are Christians by our love, right? By our love. They will know that we are Christians by our love for one another. And this is the net with which we are drawing in the fish. How might God want to repair our nets this morning? Allow the Spirit to speak to our hearts as we stand and worship Him in song together.